Begin the current daf Maseches Baba Kama daf Samach Gimel. Begin 13 lines down from the top of the Amud. The Gemara continues the discussion from the previous daf. And that is, we began the seventh parak, Parak Merubah, which spoke about specifically one point that it's Merubah, that there's more of application of the Midah of Kefil, which is the penalty when a guy steals or when he claims as a Shemah that it was stolen from him, that he has to pay double when it's found that he was lying. And versus the Tashlumen of Dalet Vehei, which is not only did he steal it, but he actually slaughtered it or sold it, then they have to pay not just double, but four or five times, depending if it's a sheep or an ox. Now, that area of application was that Dalet Vehei only applies to a Seh and a Sher. Versus Kevel applies, whether it's a Balichayim or even not a Balichayim, where the Gemara said, what's the source for that? Where do we find that Kevel applies to all these different areas? So the Gemara quoted a Braisa that learned it out from a Klal Prat to Klal, which is Keina Prat. And just like the Pratim were things that are Dava Metaltal, they're movable, and they're Gufay Mammon, and they're intrinsically worth something. So to anything that fits that characteristic, even if it's not a living thing, definitely doesn't have to be a Sher or a Seh. Now that the Gemara asked, which was on top of this Amid, and said, fine, even if you learn the Klal Prat HaKlal, you're going to know everything, but you still will not know Eifeis Temeyes. Because as you do a Klal Prat HaKlal for all those different Pratim, each one is its own unique thing. Now you didn't have to have more than one, because Shur, Chamar, said they're all talking about animals, why'd you have more? So each one's including something else. But as the Gemara had illustrated, you're still going to know other animals, even those which don't have Kedushas Bechaira. You'll know even birds, which are kosher, that at least have some level of Tumah. But how would you know that it would apply even to Eifes Temeyes, which have no Tumah when they die? Maybe that's not Keina Prat, and therefore how do you know that's included in Teshlum of Kefil? So the Gemara concluded, as Taisus Girsa had it, and as Taisus explained it, that actually, although the Braisa said it in the form of Klal Prat HaKlal, it's not how we know it. We actually know it from what's called a Ribui Miut Ribui. And that's because the term Al Kol Dvar Pesha, the word Kol, is inclusive, which is including everything. And, as the Gemara will explain today, that on this daf, that the Miutim are excluding certain specific things, but really everything is included, and therefore, anything that's movable and that's intrinsic, even a bird that's tummy, meaning a non-kosher bird that as nevela has no tumma, still that's going to be included in Tashlumen of Kefil. That's the source for that halacha. Now that's why Gemara continues and asks, what? B'chol hecha the custom of kol ribuyu? Who are you telling me? As the Gemara had concluded, oh no, it's not a klal prat klal. Why? Because it says kol, a kol dvar pasha, which is, that's in the pasuk there of the requirement of Kefil, means for anything that's a negligence, that includes everything, and that's why we're not going to say the klal prat klal. On that, the Gemara asks, but v'agabi ma'isu d'chsev kol, but we have halacha regarding ma'isu sheni, which the halacha is that you have to take up those second tithes after you give the first ma'isur to the levim, you have to take it up to Yerushalayim and eat it there. Now, if you don't want to eat it there, it's too much of a schlep to drag all your stuff, all your produce up to Yerushalayim, you could change it in for money, and then bring the money up to Yerushalayim. Now, regarding those halachas, it says in that pasuk kol, and yet we see clearly that it is interpreted in the form of klal prat klal. The tiny like nabraisa, the pasuk says v'nasata kesef, that you should give the money, which again is the money that you exchange from your produce to get money to bring it up to Yerushalayim. B'chol asher ta'ava nafshecha, for whatever your heart's desire is, you can use that ma'aser sheni money to spend it in Yerushalayim. Now that's a klal, that's a general statement. It says whatever your heart's desire is. But then the pasuk continues. It says ba'bakar u'batzayin u'bayayin u'bashecher, with the cattle and the flock and the wine and the intoxicating beverages. So that's a prat. Those are specifics. Now, but then the pasuk says, b'chol asher tishalcha nafshecha, whatever your heart asks. That's chaz of a kol. It goes back and says a general statement. Says the braisa, so that's a klal prat klal. It's a general statement, a specific, a general statement. So the halacha is, i'atadan elikin prat. So you have to qualify the halacha of what could you spend the ma'isa sheni money, anything that shares the characteristics of the specifics mentioned over there. What are the common denominator of all those specifics? Mahaprat mefurish pri, just like the specifics over there, are derivatives of derivatives. So, for example, an animal is a child from something that itself was a child. The grapes are from the seeds. In other words, everything came from somewhere else that came from somewhere else before that, which excludes water and salt and mushrooms and truffles, which these are things that either are growing from the air. They don't come from something else that gave birth to it. So it has to be pri. And v'gidulei karak has to be something that grows from the ground, or at least gets nourished from the ground, like cattle and flock, which that excludes fish, which they don't grow from the ground and they don't get nourished from the ground. I've called pri v'gidulei karak, says the braisa, you learn that from klal prat klal, that anything that's a derivative from a derivative and grows or gets nourished from the ground, that you could use the money of ma'isa sheni to spend and to consume that when you're in Yerushalayim. But one thing the Gemara is asking, you see that it's using the term b'chol asher ta'av nafshecha, u'b'chol asher t'sholcha nafshecha. It's using the words kol, and yet still it's darshaning kol prat klal. So how could you say, in the interpretation of how we know eifes tameis are included in the halacha that we're mentioning regarding kefil, if you stole a non-kosher bird, that you'll be chayiv? Oh, because the pasuk is talking about ribu meter ribu. You're right. Through kol prat klal, you wouldn't know it. But why are you saying ribu mit ribu? Because it says kol, kol's a ribu. But here you have a brisa clear that's using kol and saying it's not a ribu mit ribu. It's darshaning as a klal prat klal, which again, they're very similar in the methodology, but they're different in their interpretation. Klal and prat klal is more specific than ribu mit ribu, which is much more inclusive. So Ami, they said, it's not a difficulty. Bechol klala. When the pasuk says, bechol ashatav nafshecha, the word with a beis, chaf, and a lamed, that's a general statement. Kol ribuyehu, when you don't have the vase beforehand, you just say the word kol, like we have in the pasuk of kefil, that's a terminology of ribuy. That's more inclusive, and that's why it's not difficult for that price, because that's bekol. Here it's kol. That's one answer. Vibayisema, or if the Gemara says, if you want, you could say a different answer. That truthfully, kol kolalahu. You're right, even the word kol, not just bekol, any kol is a general statement. Like you see in that price, and it's not specifically bekol. Even kol is the same thing. Now, but miyu kol dahach ribuyehu. But we have to say, as the Gemara had concluded at the end of the previous daf on this amid, that kol in this context of kefil is an inclusionary ribuy mit ribuy and not a klal prat klal. Why? Because mechti. Let's see. Ksiv mi ikara. It said previously in the beginning of this parsha, which this is talking about by the parsha of the shomrim, the responsibility that they have if they're watching a deposit that someone gave to them. So it says previously already a klal prat klal. It already says, in the context of Shemim, a general statement, specific in the general statement. Because the Chsev, it says earlier there, it says in Shemais, Ki yidin yishal ri'eyu, if a man will give something to his friend. Now, in Perek HaZav, the Gemara there darshans regarding the Shvuas HaShemim, which is the oath that the watchman has to take if he wants to exempt himself. Let's say Shem Echinim, who's exempt for Gneva Veda, he says, oh, stolen from me, I'm exempt. Well, you got to swear. Shem Esacha, who says it was an Oinus, who he's exempt, you got to swear. So the Gemara there darshans, this as we're quoting over here, to say that the shvua is only like things that are ke'en ha-prat, meaning the oath that the person's liable as a shomer is only like what the pasuk mentions. What type of deposit was he watching? Which is, as the Gemara will explain, something that's immovable and has intrinsic worth, metaltla and gufi mammon. So the Braisa says, it says ki'id nishal re'eyu, which that's a klal. It's a general statement. It doesn't say what he's giving him to watch. But then it says kesav re'kelem, money or utensils or vessels. Well, that's a prat, that's a specific. Then it says lishma to watch, which hadav kol goes back and says a general statement, anything that is to watch. So that's a klal prat to klal. And it already says this in the beginning, a few psukim before, when it's starting to talk about this halacha, about a watchman, what happens if he claims that it was stolen, and then it gets into that whole discussion regarding where our pasuk is, that of kefil, where although kefil, the general halacha would apply by a thief, the context that we were discussing this brisa with the psukim of tain tainis ganav. When the shomer is claiming that it was stolen, which he has the same halacha then as a ganav, then he has to pay kefil, which was the drasha we were quoting of all these psukim that we're talking about. So on that says the Gemara of Isa gadai dechai al kol dvar peshen. If you would entertain to say that the psukim that we're discussing, which are the psukim after that, that says regarding any area of negligence, which that's the psukim that talks about the halacha of kefil. If you would entertain to say that you would darshan it, nami lechlalu pradhu da'asa, that it's also coming to say, as we had asked, as we had assumed in the Havamina, as we initially thought, that it's coming to say a klal prat a klal, and that we would only include for the halacha of kefil anything that's ke'ena prat. So then the Gemara says, then nichtev rachmanu lahani prati gabeheir klalu prat. Then the Torah should have written these specifics that you want to say that the halacha of kefil would only apply to shor chamor seh salma. You should have written those specifics in the original klal prat a klal, meaning in the first pasuk. We already have the bookends. We have the klal in the beginning and the klal at the end. And then there are certain pratim. Now, therefore, when we have a psukim later, where it talks about, again, a klal and then a prat and then a klal, why would you say over another klal, prat, the klal in the same context of this parsha? You could have just said those pratim that you're saying in the later psukim of kefil in the first psukim. And then, as we had said in the top of this amud from the previous daf, that you would expound each prat individually. It doesn't become one big mumble jumble, all the pratim that you have to be like all the pratim together. Each one would get analyzed and darshan individually, which the consequence of that would be, if we were doing it as klal prata klal, as the Gemara had asked, then we would be excluding Eifes Timaeus, as we said, because Sher would add something, Hamor would add something, Seh would add something, each one would add something. But what would not be added would be Eifes Timaeus. So the question is, if it would be klal prata klal, the first pasuk was, besides Tomas Shavuos HaShemen, which is the oath, when do you have to take an oath, it also mentions there in that pasuk the halacha of Yishalim Shnayim, of Kefil. So I'll call Dvar Pesha Lamali, why do I need two more klalim? The later psukim, when it starts talking about the penalty of Kefil again, why do I need the bookends? I'll call Dvar Pesha and the end of the pasuk, which has another klal. I already know it from the first, I have klalim there also. I'll just stick in these pratim there. Shmaminos, obviously you can infer that the general statements, what we call the klalim of the later psukim, must be ribuyuhu, must be that they're not klal prata klal. Because if it was, I wouldn't need a new klal in the beginning and klal at the end to then qualify those pratim, because I could have just taken those pratim and mentioned them in the first pasuk, which already mentions klal, pratim, and klal. And I would just stick in these and then qualify the halach of kefil based on them over there. So it must be, as Rashi explains, that actually regarding kefil, we do not expound the halachas of kefil based on the klal, prata, klal. And the first pasuk that mentions klal, prata, klal, that was only, as the Gemara mentions elsewhere in Perek Hazav, is only qualifying regarding the halachas of the oath that the Shemer has to take. Because that's where it says there in the pasuk, v'nikra balabayis, which is him taking the oath. But regarding kefil, there we don't, although it mentions that those words there in that pasuk, we're not going to qualify kefil based on klal prata klal, meaning regarding what items, if you're found lying that you really had it and you said it was stolen, that you're going to have to be kefil, that we will actually darshan it, as we said, as a ribui, which will include everything, even Eifes Timaeus, and only regarding Shavuos HaShemen, regarding what type of an oath does the watchman have to take, if let's say he's a Shemen Chinam and he says it was stolen from me, that he has to swear, that will be based on that klal prat of klal of something Gufay Mamon V'davim Metaltal, which again gets qualified based on the words of Kesef Eikelem, but that's not how we darshan the halacha of Kefil. That's as a reboot. So again, that's what the Gemara's second answer is. Although maybe Kul could be a Klal Prata Klal, as we find by Meister Shani, but here it most definitely cannot be, because if it was, we wouldn't make a new Klal Prata Klal. We would have just stuck it in the Pesukim beforehand, which already had Klal Prata Klal, and then we would have expounded Kefil already in that Pasuk. Now the Gemara asks, Sahashta Damit Kul Ribuyu. Okay, so now that was the conclusion of the Gemara, that's how we know even non-kosher birds, that they will be included in the Halach of Kefil, because it's a Ribuy Meir to Ribuy. So kol hani prati lamali. So why do I need all those specifics mentioned if already kol includes everything? So then when it starts going through shor, chamor, seh, sam, which are specifics, what are they, which are in the halacha of ribu, mute, ribu, the mute, are excluding? They, because you're already including everything, so when you say specifics, they're excluding certain specific things. What are they coming to exclude? So the Gemara says, we have shor, chamor, and seh. So chad mutekarka. One of the terms of specifics is coming to exclude that land. That kefil doesn't apply to. V'chad l'muti avadim, one comes to exclude slaves. V'chad l'muti shtar, so one comes to exclude documents. Which fits into the characteristics that we mentioned in the Braisa, because it has to be something that davim metaltel v'gufei mamon, which karka is not metaltel, and avadim are compared to karka, and shtaris are not gufei mamon. But we don't know it through because of a ke'ina prat, which would be klal prat klal, because then we wouldn't be including eifes tameis, non-kosher birds, but rather we know it through miut. But when we're excluding, we would exclude things that are not similar to the characteristics of the specifics. Then the fourth specific that was mentioned, that was salma, a garment. Now a garment is unique that it has identifying features, which are simanim, as the Gemara talks about this in Bab Metzia, Daf Chav Zayin Amud Aleph. So that's lemu'utei dava she'inim assum, that comes to exclude something which is not specific, something that the owner doesn't have simanim in it, where if that was something where it was stolen, or he claims that it was stolen, that he would be exempt from kefil. Now, then when the pasuk concludes, al kol aveda, regarding all lost objects, so although, of course, that's the ribui, which you need to have ribui mei to ribui, to have the drasha of ribui mei to ribui, but as the Rishayim explained, but the specific of aveda, what's that terminology coming to tell us? That's look at Rabbi Chiya bar Abba. Because the Amr B'chir Barabba, Amr B'yichna, he says, Atoyin Tain is Ganem. If someone makes a claim that something was stolen from him, as we continue in Talmud Beis, Be'aveda, by a lost object. In other words, if someone finds a lost object, and then when the guy finds out, oh, you found my thing, he says, yes, I found it, I was going to return it, but a thief came and stole it from me after I found it, and it really turns out he was lying and he really had it all along. So that halacha is Meshalem Tashlumi Kefil. He has to pay Kefil, just like a Shomer, where he had a pakadon, a deposit, and he claimed it was stolen and it really wasn't, he has to pay kaful. So to someone that had found a lost object and he claimed that it was stolen from him, and it turns out he really had it, he has to pay kaful. Shenema, like it says in the pasuk, which was, as we explained, what the words are coming to tell us, al kol aveda, regarding all lost objects, asher yoyim, that he will say, in other words, that he will say regarding the lost object that it was stolen, because as the Gemara will explain later on, that this whole pasuk of al kol devar pesha, etc., is talking about tani tainas ganav. So why is it mentioned kol aveda? What does the lost have to do if you're claiming that it was stolen in your reshimer? It's coming to tell you the halacha that the same halacha applies to someone that found a lost object, that if he claims it was stolen, he's also going to be liable for the penalty of kefal. Now the Gemara continues on this theme about by a shamer, by a watchman, when he's tiny tiny skanev, that he has to have, which was the whole context of these psukim that we were dashing from the previous daf of this brisa, which taught us the whole source of this halacha of kefal, for what type of items are included, which was the topic of the Mishnah, whether it's Baal Chaim or not Baal Chaim. So regarding this halacha, it's not hasim. We learned over there in the Mishnah later on, that the Mishnah says, if let's say the owner of the item says to the guy who was watching it for him, Heichen piktayni, where's my deposit that I gave to you for safekeeping? Amalei says to him, Avad, it was lost. So he says, Mashmeach ania, I want you to swear to me. You're a shemachinim, you would be exempt if it's lost, but swear to me that that's what happened. V'amam, and he says, yes, that's an acceptance of the shvuah. Now, but then and then witnesses come and testify, you liar, it wasn't lost, you ate it. Halacha is mishal mesakeren. He has to pay for the principal of the item that he lied about, but he doesn't pay kefal, because kefal is only by what's called tain tainas ganav. As the pasuk talks about, it's only if he claims it was stolen from him. Here he didn't claim it was stolen, he claimed it was lost. Shemachim is exempt both by gneva and aveda. But only is he chai of kefal for when he claims it was stolen, which is like the halacha of when the guy steals, where the halacha of kefal applies to. But when he claims that it was lost, although that would exempt him, turns out when he's a liar, there's no kefal over there, but he has to pay for the principal. Let's say witnesses don't come and contradict him, but he feels guilty at the end. He says, you know what, I lied. He admits based on his own testimony after he already swore. So Mishalm Karen V'chemish V'ashim. So he has to pay A for the principal, because he has to give back what the guy, what he really owed the guy, what's really the guy's. And he has to pay a fifth more of the principal. And he has to bring a carbon ashim. The reason being, as brought in the pasuk in Vayikra, Perek Hay, it says, "Oy mikol asher yishav alav l'sheker b'goyim," or anything that he'll swear about falsely, where the pasuk says he has to bring a karban asham, that's known as a asham gezeilus. For theft, you have to bring a karban asham. Now, the karban asham gezeilus only comes with the guy's own admission. Now, because as Rashi points out, although there in that parasha doesn't say anything about the guy's own admission, but the Torah writes in a similar context by the Asham of Gezel Hager, also for stealing from a convert in Parashas Nasai, there it says, Vesvadu eschatasim, that they will admit their sin. So you see that halacha applies only with admission. And so to the Chaimish, the fifth only comes when there's going to be a Karban Asham. So that's how we know that you can have all these three halachas of Karen, Chaimish, and Asham when you admit to your lie that it was lost, really you had eaten it and really stolen it. Now, the Mishnah continues and says, let's say the owner says to the watchman, Heichen bigdayni, where's my deposit? Amalei nignav, he doesn't say it was lost, here he says that it was stolen from me. So he says, Mashpeach ani, he says, I want you to swear to me. V'amar amen, he says, yes. And then, but then witnesses come and testify that it wasn't stolen from you, you stole it, you still have it. Halach is b'sham tashlami kefal. That's the halach of what's called tain tainas ganav. He tried getting out of it by claiming that it was stolen from him, and it turns out he was lying and he really has it. So then he has to pay kefal. Let's say no witnesses came, but he admitted of his own volition. Then misham kerem mechemish v'ashem. Then he doesn't have the halacha of kefal. Then he has to pay the principal. And again, the same thing like when he claims that it was lost, and then he admits a fifth for penalty because he swore falsely for this theft, and a karban ashem asham gezeilus. That's what the Mishnah says. Says the Gemara, k'tani miya. But one thing that we see from the Mishnah is that b'toyin tanas ganev, that when a guy makes a claim, he was a shemit, and he claims it was stolen from him, did misham tashlumi kefal, that he has to pay double. Avol, b'toyin tanas avid, but what we do see also from the Mishnah is, but if he claims that it was lost from him, then lo misham tashlumi kefal, then he doesn't have to pay double, even if it turns out that he was lying about that. Now, moreover, says the Gemara, one more thing we see from that Mishnah is, b'fil b'toyin tanas ganev, even a guy who was trying to get off the hook by claiming that it was stolen from him, is only b'shvuah. It's only after he swore falsely, as the Mishnah there quotes, he tells him, Mashpiach ani. That's where Hu Demisham Teshul Mikevu, that's where he has to pay double when he's later caught with witnesses who say that you were lying. Avashalei b'shvuah, but without an oath, even if he denies it. In the Mishnah, Tishlumi Kefil, he doesn't have to pay Kefil. That has to Gemara. Manan Amili, from where do we know these two halachas that we find in the Mishnah over there? A, regarding three halachas that we know, Toin Tanis Ganav is Chayiv. Moreover, that that's only Chayiv Bishvua, and that it doesn't apply by Toin Tanis Ovid, only applies when he claims it was stolen from him, not when he claims it was lost from him. So the Gemara said, Toin Rabban, like Lunna Braisa. The Pasuk in Shemai says, and the importance over here of the Psukim are, we're quoting all these Psukim, which the Parashias are talking about by the Shemrin. So the Psukim, they begin where it says, regarding a regular thief, it says, Im himatzi timatzi b'yada geneva, it talks about a regular thief, and this is in Perichav Beis Pasuk Gimel. Then later on, the Psukim start talking about a related topic, not a ganav himself, but someone that claims, as we'll see in the Gemara, that it was stolen from him. So let's say in Pasuk Vav, it says, Kihidin ishal re'eyu, if a man will give to his friend, kesav, akelim, lishmar, stuff to watch from him, v'gunav be'beis ha'ishan, it's stolen from that guy. So it says, mimatzi ha'ganav, and we'll see exactly what do these words mean, who are we talking about, but it says, if they find the ganav, yisham shnayim, then he has to pay double. Then the next Pasuk says, im lo yimatzi ha'ganav, if they don't find the thief, then menikra balabayis alakim, then the owner comes, who's the balabayis? These are very enigmatic terms in the Pasuk, and it could be interpreted in different ways. Then the balabayis, the homeowner, comes el alakim to the court. If he didn't touch the stuff of his friend's things in regarding to be exempting himself from liability. And then that's the next Pasuk that we have been quoting up until now from the previous daf, which was the braisa that it told us the halach of kefil, which we were darshaning in the context of Toyin Tanis Ganav. It says, so al-kol dvar pesha, regarding all things of negligence, al-shur, al-chamur, al-seh, al-sam, al-kol aveda, for all lost things, asher yemeku hikihudet, that he'll say that it was like this, so ad alikim yoved dvar shneim, up until the courts, their words should come, asher yashin alikim, that which the courts will make him liable, yisham shneim alir, he'll pay double to his friend. Those are the primary psukim that we're discussing over here, regarding the halacha of shemrim, and regarding this concept about it being stolen from him, or he claiming that it was stolen from him, then regarding finding out that we find the real ganav, or we find out that he was really the ganav, those are some of the things we're going to be speaking about. So the Braisa quotes this pasuk that says, "Im yimatzi ha-ganav." This is after the guy, this is in that pasuk when it talks about that he gave him stuff to watch, and the words the pasuk says is that it was stolen from him. So it says, if they find the ganav, so the ganav has to pay double. So the Braisa says, "Betoyin tainas ganav." What we're talking about over here is a guy who claims that it was stolen from him. In other words, this that it says that the balabayas, the watchman, the shamer, is claiming that the deposit you gave me was stolen from him. Because when the pasuk says v'gunav mebeseish, so he's claiming that it was stolen from him. That's what he's saying. That's what our custom adab, but that's what the pasuk is talking about. And what the pasuk is saying is that if Yimatze Shehu Ganav, when it says Yimatze Ganav, who's found? Meaning it's found that he's really the thief. He was lying, he was claiming that it was stolen, but no, Yimatze Ganav, it turns out that he was really the thief. That's what the Torah is saying, that he has to pay double now, because that's Toin Tanis Ganav. So that's what the Braisa says, that's what the Pasuk is talking about. So the Braisa says, as many times Braisa say this type of terminology, is that really true? As we're saying that the Pasuk there is talking about that regarding a guy who claims it was stolen from him, and it turns out it really wasn't, and he's the thief? Or maybe, no, maybe the way you should read the pasuk is regarding a real thief. It is. It was v'guna mibesa ish. It really was stolen from him. And he was really saying the real truth, the shamer. And when it says in Yimatze Ganav, it's the real thief that was found. And it's that real thief that when he's found has to pay kefil, like a regular thief, because he was a real thief, this other guy. And that says the Braisa, no. When the next pasuk then continues and says that if the thief is not found, that is as the Gemara will shortly bring, although we'll have a contradictory brisa in the way one of this brisa's assumptions in this pasuk that we're talking about, everyone will agree, and the Gemara will explain why that is, that the next pasuk that's talking about im lo yimatzei haganav is talking about toyin tanas ganav, where it turns out that he was lying, that he himself stole it. So this Braisa says, so then you're going to say, so that the previous Pasuk must be also talking about, B'toyin tanas ganav akasam adava, must be that the Pasuk is talking about that when the guy claims that it was stolen from him. So that what the Pasuk is talking about, and if you find out that the claim that he was making was false because he was actually lying, that's what it says that this balabais, meaning the shomer, he's going to be liable for the kefil penalty. Now the Gemara later on will ask, if both Pesukim, the Pasuk Vav and Pasuk Zayin, one which says Im Yimatzei Ganav, that he has to pay double, and the next Pasuk which says Im Lo Yimatzei Ganav, that he has to pay double, why do you need two Pesukim for the same idea of Tony Tana's Ganav? So the Gemara will address that. But that's what this Braisa explains. When it says Im Yimatzei Ganav, who is that talking about? It's where he's meaning when it says Vigunav Bebeisesh, is that he was claiming that it was stolen, and Yimatzei Ganav means it turns out that he was the guy who really stole it. However, Tanya Iduch learned another Braisa that disagrees. This Braisa says, again, this is for Perichav Beis Pasik Vav, that says, Mimatze HaGanav, when it says that regarding the Shomer that's Torah over there, that if the Ganav is, it turns out that if they find the thief, it's Beganav Atzma Kotha Bedav, it's someone a real thief. Which is that when it says Vagunav Beis Ish, is that it was really stolen from the Shomer. And then we find the guy who stole it, not just from the homeowner, but even from the Shomer, has to pay kefil. Says the Braisa, wait a second, Beganav Atzma Kotha Bedav, is it really talking about the real thief? Are you talking about that it's really regarding a thief himself, and that's what the pasuk is saying, that a thief has to pay kefil? Or maybe it's talking about a guy who claims that it was stolen from him. And when the pasuk says that imimotze haganav, it means it turns out that he is the thief. That then him, the shomer, has to pay kefil. And that says the bride said no, because kishu oimer im lo yimotze haganav, when the next pasuk says that if the thief is not found. And again, as we'll shortly explain, Haritoyin Tanis Ganiv Omar. So we already have a pasuk talking about the halacha of liability for a shomer who claims that stolen from him. Hamani Mekayim Imatzei Ganav. So what do we need the pasuk beforehand, the pasuk we're discussing, when it says if the ganav is found? Can't be talking about Toyin Tanis Ganav, because I have the next pasuk that says it. Says this price must be beganav atzma kasa bedav, it's someone the ganav himself, and it's saying that a regular ganav is chayiv, not only if he steals from the homeowner, but even if he steals from his shomer. So again, we have a disagreement regarding what that pasuk is talking about when it talks about that he kitin ishal riehu kesef kiyam lishmer, and it's stolen from him, im yimatzei ganav. What is it? Is that it really was stolen? We're talking about the real ganav, or talking about what he claims was stolen, and it turns out he's the liar and he's really the thief. But one thing the Gemara says is, the kule amamias, but everyone agrees, both brises say, that the second pasuk Zayin, that says im lo yimatzei ganav, if the thief is not found, which then it goes on and says, so they come to court and you know they verify what he's saying. B'toyin tanis ganav k'siv. Everyone agrees that that pasuk is talking about when the guy claims it was stolen from him. Again, one brisa says therefore the pasuk before must be talking about something else, therefore a real ganav, and the other one says no. And the fact that you see the next pasuk is talking about b'toyin tanis ganav, so must be that's continuing the theme of the previous pasuk, which is also talking about b'toyin tanis ganav. But one thing is, everyone says it's talking about Tanis Ganav, says the Gemara, my mashma, where do you see from that pasuk that it's not talking about a real thief? You could read the pasuk, and lo yimatzei ganav, you don't find the thief, so then you go to court, etc., etc. How do you know it's talking about a tiny Tanis Ganav? So Amar Rabbi says as follows. The way you read the pasuk is, im lo yimatzei kimosha amar. If you don't find the truth verifiable like the way he said it, which he claimed that it was stolen, as the previous pasuk had said, it said v'gunav mibeis ish, that it's stolen from his house, meaning that that's what he was claiming. And that this next pasuk says im lo yimatzei haganav, meaning im lo yimatzei, if you don't find what he's saying to be true, ella rather shu atzmai ganvoi, rather he himself is the ganav, he himself stole it. That's what the pasuk continues and says of the nikrav bal habayis. Then the bal habayis, in other words, he himself. He already swore regarding this, as the pasuk there says, the nikrav bal habayis elikim, that he already came to court, im lo yisholach yodim umlechas re'eyu, claiming that I didn't touch it, I didn't do anything, it was stolen from me. What does the pasuk then say afterwards? Pasuk ches, that was the pasuk we were quoting in the braisa that tells us about the aloch of kefil, that al kol dvar pesha, which is yishalim shnayim, that he has to pay the kefil, like it ends up there in pasuk ches, yishalim shnayim l'reyu, he has to pay kefil. That's where we see this pasuk toma 20 times ganav. Now the Gemara continues and asks, now uminolan, how do we know that when the pasuk there in pasuk zayin, which again we're saying everyone agrees is talking about 20 times ganav, when the pasuk then continues and says v'nikrav bal habayis, that the homeowner then comes near el elokim, meaning to the courts, how do you know that means dibishvur? How do you know that means to say that he takes an oath? The time like Linda Bryce, the Bryce explains this halacha. It says again, because that's fundamental between a real ganav and a 20 times ganav, that a ganav when he gets caught, he doesn't have to have with an oath. But a toin tanz ganav has to be with oath. How do you know that? So the Braisa says, because the pasuk there says, v'nikr balabais el huelikim. The balabais, which is a reference to the shomer, has to come to the court. Says the Braisa, it's lishvua. It's to take an oath. The reason being is because since he's claiming that it was begunav beis ish, that it was stolen from him, so he has to swear that it was stolen to exempt himself as a shomer chinam. Says the Braisa to Imel Shvuah. Is that really so? Is that really true that that's what it's coming to say, that he has to take an oath? Maybe that's not what the pasuk is saying. Maybe when it says v'nikrav balabayis el lekim, that he has to come to the court, it's for judgment. Meaning the claim that he's saying, as the previous pasuk is saying, that he said it was stolen from him, is to say that as a shem echinim, he has to pay. Where although we know generally shem echinim, but that's what the Braisa is entertaining. Although shem echinim is exempt from geneva, maybe it's saying that no. Maybe actually a guy was watching for free and he claims it was stolen from him, he has to pay. Maybe that's what the pasuk, because these psukim are told about shem echinim. The psukim there have different psukim. It goes from shem echinim, shem esacha, ashayel, as the Gemara explains above Metzidav Tzadiyat Dali on the base. So maybe it's telling us that a shem echinim, he has to come to court and he actually has to pay when he claims that it was stolen from him. That says the Braisa, no. Nemeshlichas yad lamata. It says the words about being benishlach yada. It talks about touching the object that was deposited with you later on, which is the next parasha over there in Shemais, talks about Hashem Mesachar. Hashem Mesachar is someone that gets paid to watch. Now, he has a higher level of responsibility, and he's chayef for Geneva Aveda, but he's exempt if it, let's say, is an oinus, contrast to Hashem, who's even chayef in an oinus. So the pasuk there says, Shvuas Hashem Tia Bein Shneim, so there has to be an oath between the two of them, the real owner and the watchman, Im Lo Shalach Begayim, if he didn't touch the things, and it was an oinus, then he's going to be exempt. So use the terminology Shlichas Yad over there, about touching the object. And it also says shlichas yad previously, meaning in our parasha of the Shem Echinim, where it says v'nikar bala bayis el alakim, so they come to the court im leishalach yad, to verify if he didn't touch it, if he didn't really do something wrong with the object. So says the Braisa, mala halon l'shvua, just like over there by Shem Esacha, the pasuk there explicitly talks about him taking an oath to exempt himself. Afkan l'shvua, here also where it talks about shlichas yad, it's that im, that it says im leishalach yad, it's talking about that he's swearing about the parameters of what he did and what he didn't do. And therefore, that's how he's coming to exempt himself from Geneva Veda through a Shvua. And it's only then that if it turns out that he was lying, that then he's Chayiv and Kefil. So that's how we know the Halacha of Tan Tanskanev from that Pasuk Zayin over there, which both Braisa agree to. And that it's, which is one Halacha we want to know from the Gemara's question. And two, regarding that it has to be with a Shvua. And as we'll shortly see, we'll also answer the third question regarding how do you know it doesn't apply to Tan Tanskanev when he claims it was lost and not stolen from him. But the Gemara first continues and says, so we have these two brises. So the Gemara says, Bishlim Lamanda Amar. We very well understand according to the second brisa that said, Chad Beganav, Vechad Betoin, Tanis Ganav. It explained that Pasuk Vav is talking about where it was a real thief, and Pasuk Zayin is talking about where he claims it was stolen from him. So Haindach Sivitre Kray, that's where we have two psukim. As that Tana had said, well, if the Pasuk Zayin turned Tanis Ganav, there must be Im Himotze Ganav, must be talking about a real Ganav. Elmando Amar Tavayu Betoin Tanz Ganav, as we alluded to this earlier, but according to the first verse, it says that both Pesukim are talking about the halacha of being liable if you claim as a shomer that it was stolen from you, trade Kray Lomeli. Why didn't you two Pesukim to tell you the same halacha? So Ami, they said, and this answers the third question we had said in the Gemara, Ami, they said, Chad Lemaute Tainus Ovid. One of the Pesukim, you already know Tain Tanz Ganav, but it repeats it to say that it only applies when you're claiming that it was stolen from you, where an extra pasuk is coming to say, to exclude if you claim that it was lost from you. And you say it was lost, I'm a shem echinim, I'm exempt, and then witnesses come and verify you're a liar, you stole it yourself, that, of course, then you'll have to pay the principal, but then you're exempt from kefil, even if the guy swore. That's why I have the extra pasuk. But then the Gemara says, okay, so according to the other brisa that said that you have one pasuk tomat ganav, one pasuk tain tans ganav, with the loymiyatr, so you don't have an extra pasuk by tain tans ganav to exclude tain tans avad. So lamuti tainis avad minole. Where does the town of that price know that you're not chayav kefil when you claim it was lost from you? So that thing my answer is miganav haganav. The pasuk could have said ganav, but it says im lo yimotze haganav. The extra hay comes to say only by geneva as an exclusionary term, the ganav, but not the guy who claims that it was stolen from him. So the Gemara goes back to the other one. According to the one that says that both pasuk matoma when you claim it was stolen from you, dimitli toin tanis avad, where the extra pasuk is where we know to exclude when you claim it was lost from you. So ganav ha ganav my darshbe. What does he expound from the extra letter hay? So Malachi would tell you, you would need it for the following halacha. He says, if someone claims something was stolen from him by a deposit, which is the halacha we're discussing over here, so that is as we've been saying, Misham Tishlumi Kefilis, he has to pay double. But what he adds on is this component. More than just being Chayef Kefil, Tavach Umachar, if the guy who claimed it was stolen from him, not only did it was not stolen and he still has it, he actually slaughtered it or sold it. Misham tashlum abav chamisha. Then you have to pay 4 or 5 times the amount, as the halacha would be by the thief himself, that he says we know from ganav haganav. Now Tosafot points out, although what comes out according to one tana of one brisa, the hay is a ribui. According to the other one, it's a miyad. That's not something to be concerned about, because it all depends on the logic of what the exposition is. Depending on that context, it would be either as a ribui or a miyad. So according to this tana, it's actually going to be a ribui, including not just being chayv kefil for toin tana's ganav, but even dal v'hei, even in the context of toin tana's ganav. So now the Gemara goes back. According to the other brisa, where one pasuk is by the ganav, one's by toin tana's ganav. The high ganav, haganav, afkele mu'utitainas of it, where the way you knew to exclude the claim of stone is by the extra hay. So Reb Chiya bar Abba menolei, so how would he know the halach of Reb Chiya bar Abba? That dal v'hei applies even to tainas ganav, because the other one had said you know from the extra hay, but he is already using the hay to exclude the taina of Avid. So how does he know this halach? So Malach, he would tell you, hekeshuhu, it's a hekesh. In other words, since the psukim, as we had just mentioned before when we were recording all the psukim, before it goes into the parasha of Shomrim, there in Pasuk Gimel, it talks about the halacha of a real ganav, and then it goes right after that into the halacha of the Shomrim, which is by Toin Tanis ganav. So you see that the psukim are having them near each other, which is the halacha of Hekesh, that is comparing the two halachas, which tells us, just like by a ganav, he has to pay dal v'hei if he slaughtered or sold it. So too, if a guy's Toin Tanis ganav, he has to pay 4 or 5 times the amount of what he was claiming was stolen from him. Now, although there's what's called a pircha, you could ask a question and say, wait a second, they're not comparable. Maybe by a thief, where his liability is much more severe than Toin Tanis ganav, as we know that he's chayv kefil even if he didn't swear about it, even if he was just caught with the stolen object, in contrast to a Toin Tanis ganav, who just claims it was stolen from him, that has to have an oath. So maybe, therefore, you wouldn't be able to learn that from ganav to say that Toin Tanis ganav is also chayv and dal v'hei if he slaughtered it or sold it. And that says the Gemara, ve'ei meshivin al akesha. That Tana would tell you, which is a halachic dictum, we do not respond on a hekesh. As the Gemara explains later on, even if there are questions and say, wait a second, they're not comparable, doesn't make a difference. A hekesh is absolute. If it says it near and it's comparing them, you learn out the halacha is one from the other, and therefore that's how he would say, that's how you know the halacha of dal v'hei, even by turning times ganav. So the Gemara continues asking and saying, Bishlem l'mando amar chad beganav v'chad b'toin tanis ganav. According to the one, the Tana, the Brais, that said that one pasuk talking about a real thief, and one's talking about where he claims it was stolen from him, Shapir, it makes sense that you know the source of the halacha that kefil applies not just by toin tanis ganav, because that's actually the pasukim we were darshaning everything up until now from the previous daf, which is the pasuk al kol devar pesha is talking about actually in the context of a shomer who's claiming that stolen from him, and we find that he was lying, then he has to pay kefil, and that's where we qualified what's included in that as a ribui mitu ribui. So, but again, you have a different pasuk that talks about the ganav himself. But elamando amar tavayu between tanis ganav. But according to the other brayse that said that both pasuk vav and pasuk zayin are talking about not a real thief, but a guy who claims it was stolen from him, and that's where the halacha is talking about the halacha of kefil. So ganav asma minole. But so where do you know the actual halacha that a real ganav himself is going to be chayv kefil if he's caught with the thing that he stole? So says the Gemara v'chitim, and if you're going to say leisa b'kavuchaymer toin tanis ganav, you should learn it as a kavuchaymer from a guy who claimed it was stolen. If a guy didn't even steal it, he was exempting himself by claiming that it was stolen, and it's only by toin tanis ganav, it's not by toin tanis aveda. So it's like some like a smell, it's like a sniff, a scent of geneva. He's chayv kefil, so a real thief, of course, would be chayv kefil. And that says the Gemara, even if you would say that kavuchaymer. But then you have what's called the principle of dayay. Dayay love min adin leiz kanidin. But then you would only know the halacha of a real thief as much as what you know about someone that's claiming they were stolen from him. And then you would be limited to say malahal b'shvua, just like by toin tanis ganav, he's only liable for kevel if he swore falsely, afkam b'shvua. Then I would only know that the halacha of kevel by ganav only applies if he swore falsely. Yet we know the halacha applies even if he didn't. So if the Gemara says, this Tana would say, nafkalei min adin leiz kanidin, that you learn it out from the brisa of the yeshiva of Chizkia, who he expounds a different pasuk, which is talking about the ganav himself, where the pasuk there says, as we had quoted this before, earlier pasuk in Pasuk Gimel, that says, imimatzi timatzi biyod hakaneva, etc., which says, if he's found with the theft, that then the pasuk says, shnai mishalem. Now, so Rashi asks the obvious question, so why is the Gemara going to a brisa of the Beit Chizkiyah to bring the source for the God himself, the Tzchayv Kefil? It's a, what's called a Mefurash Pasuk. It's an explicit Pasuk. It talks about a thief that has to pay Kefil. So that Rashi says the reason why the Gemara didn't quote the Pasuk itself is because in the Pasuk, if you just read it, it only tells us about Bali Chayim, about being Chayv Kefil if you stole a living thing. As it says, Mishar Vat Chamar at Tzeh Chayim, from an ox to a donkey to a living sheep. But you wouldn't know that the stealing would apply to other things too. That's why the Gemara is going to quote the source of the halacha of kefil for a real thief, according to this Tana, from the Tana of the Beit Chizkiyah, which, as we'll see as it concludes, will teach us for all those that fit into the parameters of the chiv of kefil, that's gufei mamon, dov metaltel, that halacha of kefil applies to all those things too, for a real ganav and not just for Tana's ganav. The Tana of Beit Chizkiyah, like learn the brisa of Yeshiva of Chizkiyah. They expound this pasuk as follows. They ask a question. Yomer shor uganeva v'akol b'chlal. The pasuk says in Shemayis Chav Beis Gimel, it says, "Imimatzei temotzei b'yada ganeva." If it's found the stolen thing in the hands of the thief, mishor at chamar, from an ox to a donkey, at sechaim to a living sheep, shushnayim yisham, he has to pay double. So the Bryce is asking that just say ox and say ganeva, and everything would be included. The reason being because then you would have what's called a ke'en haprat, which is similar to the specific. So you would say, just like an ox is something that's dava hamataltel, it's movable, and zguvei mamon, it's intrinsically worth something. So you would include everything like that. So what does chamor, a donkey, what does a seah sheep come to tell us? So that's what the Braisa goes through its own whole conclusion until the next daf, which actually continues more and more, discussing the elucidation of this Braisa. But later on, the Gemara is gonna explain what exactly is the Braisa talking about over here, that it's not even a klal prat klal to say that it's kein a prat. We have a prat and we have a klal. Where do you see a klal prat klal? That's the Gemara is going to address that. But that's what the Tana Beit Chizkiyah is saying. That just say shor and ganeva, and you have already kein a prat. What do you need the other terminology? What do you need the other specific variables for? Says the Braisa, ilu kach, had it been like that, I would have said ma haprat mefurish karv lega mizbeach. What was the specific mention? If you only said shor. It's something that can be brought on the Mizbeach, in the base of Mikdash. Afkol, then I would say, so too, everything would not be included in the Ke'en HaPrat, only something that's Karv L'Gam Mizbeach, that's sacrificed on the Mizbeach. Now, that's why the Torah has to write, not just Shor, but also Seh, that you shouldn't say that the Klal is coming to include only something that's brought on the Mizbeach. Because, as the Brice explains, Ma Yesh L'Chol Lehevi, what would you include, if you're saying anything that's similar to Shor, which is something that's brought on the Mizbeach, which wasn't written explicitly in the Pasuk? You would say, seh, a sheep. That's obviously another thing that's brought as a carbon on the Mizbeach. But as we continue on top of Samar Talmud Aleph, says the Braisa, but Keshu Omer, when the Pasuk then says, seh, a sheep, what do you mean? Hari seh Omer. We already said sheep, meaning it's already included in the term of the klal and prat of shar. Hamani mekayim geneva. So what does the klal of geneva, which is the klal to darshan, the klal prat, the klal of shar, coming to include, which tells us anything that's similar to Shar, what would be similar to Shar that would be included? Seh? Seh's already written there. I already have Seh. So what would Geneva, that's the klal that qualifies the Ke'en HaPrat, which comes to include other things, what other things would be including? Therefore, L'Rab is called Davar. That's why it's coming to include everything, meaning, so you see up until now, it wouldn't be enough with Shar, because I would think only Ke'en HaPrat, which is brought in Mizbeach, which would be what Seh. But then why does it say seh? Oh, come to include anything more than that, not only this brought on the Mizbeach, even all other things. Yeah, but then the Braisa continues. Then the question is, okay, yemer shor seh ugeneva. So say ox, sheep, and the general term of whatever stolen, l'kol b'chal, and everything would be included. What do we need more terms for? Says the Braisa, ilukach, had it been like that, I would say, wait a second, mahaprat mefurish, what about these specifics are that they're explicitly dav hakadosh b'bechayr? They're things that have sanctity as their firstborn has kedushas b'chayr, which has to be given to the kain. Af kol dav hakadosh b'bechayr. I would think also anything else that is only something that has its firstborn has the sanctity of b'chayr. Those are the only things that would have the halacha of kefil regarding a ganav. And therefore, I would the only thing that I would darshan from the pasuk would. Meaning, if I didn't have chamor, that's the limitations that Allah would have. But then, ma yesh l'chol lehevi. What would be included that wasn't written, that would be included from the ke'en haprat of ganav qualifying, of ganeva qualifying the shor and seh? It would be chamor. That would only be including a donkey, which is also has kedushas b'chayr. But Kishoim Chamor, when the Pasuk then says explicitly, donkey, Hare Chamor Amr, so donkey is already said in the Pasuk. So what is the Klal Prat coming to tell me? Other things. What else? What do you need the Klal to qualify? What is Geneva teaching me as qualifying Shar and Chamor? It already says, meaning Shar and said, it already says Chamor. So Haman Mekam Geneva. So what is then the Geneva, the general term which comes to include other things that are similar coming to include? That's Larabbah's called, obviously is coming to include everything. Not just something that has brought in the Mizbeach or has Kedushas B'chayr. But then the Bryce still continues. Yemer Shar V'chamor Se'u Geneva V'akobacha. Okay, so say ox, donkey, sheep, and theft, and everything would be included. So the question then is, but then why does it say sechayim? What's the word living coming to include, which sounds like it's including any living thing? What do I need that for? I already know that from without the word chayim. So on that says the Braisa, ilukach, because had it said it without the word chayim, hayisa, I would say, no. Mahaprat mefurish balei chayim. What do I see from the specifics? Yes, it doesn't have to be just on the Mizbeach, because it doesn't just say sure. Because it already says seh. It wouldn't have to be something that just says kedushas b'chayre because it already says chamor. So chamor must be including something beyond that. But still, I would know only from shur, seh, and chamor, maybe to include things that are specific, like related to those specifics, that they're balechayim, they're all living things. Avkol balechayim, so I would say it's only including living things. Mayesh l'chol lehevi, so what would be included? Shah balechayim. So from that keina prat, if that's all it said without the word chayim, what would I include? All other living things. That's what the keina prat would qualify. So kishuaimer chayim, but then when the pasuk says living, harei chayim, it already mentions all living things. It already says harei chayim omer. Hamanim mekayim geneva. So then what do I need from the qualifying term of geneva that comes to include for as a klal things that are similar to that? It's not adding anything. Living things? The word chayim already includes all living things. Therefore concludes the braisa, l'rabba is called dover. Obviously that's why we learn that from this klal prat, the klal is coming to include all things, which again, as we say, is dover hamataltal, v'gufei mamon, not just things that are living things, because then what would the word chayim, it already says in a chayim, what would I need the klal prat, the klal of geneva come to include? Must be things that are similar to that, and therefore that's the source for the other Tana, who doesn't have, with these pasuk vav and zayin, one of them talking about a real ganav, because both are talking about turn times ganav. How do we know a real ganav? That's from an earlier pasuk in pasuk gimel, which talks about a real thief. Which again, then although it's really a pasuk, but we brought the Tan Bechiski, which qualifies, even though it says only balechaim. As we see, as we just went through that, the kal part, the kal comes to include other things too, anything that's similar, not just balechaim.